Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to continue talking about national flowers. Last time we talked about three national flowers. We talked about the national flower of South Korea, Mugonghwa. Maybe it's the national flower of North Korea as well. We also talked about the lotus, which is India's national flower. And we also talked about the dahlia, which is Mexico's national flower. What countries are we going to talk about today?
Scotland, France, and South Africa. So let's get started, guys. We're going to read through day two, and then we'll be back to talk about some of these words. Scotland's national flower, the thistle, comes with an exciting legend. According to the story, this prickly plant once saved Scottish warriors from a Viking invasion when an enemy soldier stepped on it and cried out in pain, alerting the Scottish army. Since the 15th century, the thistle has been a prominent symbol of Scottish strength and determination. It even represents one of Scotland's highest honors, the Order of the Thistle, awarded to those who have made great contributions to Scotland. While France does not have an official national flower, the fleur-de-lis has been an iconic symbol of French royalty since the 12th century. It is believed to have been inspired by the iris flower. The iris itself is renowned for its elegance, and its name is derived from the Greek word for rainbow, reflecting its stunning range of colors, from pure white to deep purple. Today, the French people cherish this flower as a symbol of purity, light, dignity, and freedom. In South Africa, the national flower is the King Protea, which stands out for its exotic appearance. It is one of the oldest flowering plants on Earth, dating back 300 million years. The King Protea has an impressive root system that allows it to thrive in harsh conditions, including drought, heavy rain, and even wildfires. After a fire, dormant buds hidden in the roots allow the protea to regrow. In South African culture, the King Protea represents hope, strength, and the power to overcome challenges, mirroring the nation's spirit. Next time you spot one of these flowers, remember that they're not just pretty plants. They're history books, cultural symbols, and inspirational stories waiting to be told.
Okay, everybody, today we're going to talk about some more national flowers. Let's start with Scotland. Okay, Scotland, of course, is part of the UK. It's the northern part of the island of Great Britain. Of course, they're known for their bagpipes and their haggis and things like that. And, of course, Loch Ness, the big lake with the monster in it, supposedly. Well, Scotland's national flower, the thistle, comes with an exciting legend. Okay, now when I see the word thistle, I think that's a national flower. Isn't that some kind of thorny plant or something like
that? It's a weed.
Yeah, who wants to have that as their national flower? But there is a story behind this. Indeed, it does have the flower part of the plant, but then it's got these little spikes sticking out.
Yeah, I don't think it's the prettiest flower in the world, but there's a lot of this plant flower in Scotland. When I went over there, I saw a lot of thistle. And you have to be careful because if you touch the leaf part, it's really prickly. It's got what we call prickles on it.
Is it poisonous?
No, but it hurts your fingers. It's not very comfortable. It's not like a rose thorn that are on rose, you know, stems. Those really hurt. But they're tiny, tiny little things that just kind of poke your fingers or poke your feet if you're walking in them. But they're everywhere. They seem to be kind of the kind of flower that just appears. You don't have to plant them, you know. Those kind of flowers. They're pretty if you just look at them in a field, but they're not very fun if you actually touch them with your hands. It's their national flower, and it does have a legend. A legend is a story that's passed down through time from person to person. It could be written as well. We don't know if legends are true or not. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're based on truth, and then they get kind of exciting because people add things to them. Now, according to this legend or this story, this prickly plant, I want to talk about this. Prickly comes from this idea of having prickles. I didn't know that they were called prickles until today. But prickles are just like little tiny thorns. They kind of stick up, and they stick you if you touch them. But if someone's prickly, they're kind of easily offended. You have to be careful what you say around them. Sometimes we'll say, oh, I feel like I have to walk on eggshells around that person. Oh, they get upset or offended so easily. They're prickly. Well, this is a prickly plant because it does have prickles on it. And it once saved Scottish warriors from a Viking invasion when an enemy soldier stepped on it and cried out in pain. And it got the Scottish army to wake up and pay attention. They had enemies invading their country. What's a Viking? Viking was one of those Scandinavian pirates and traders, and they would raid and go into other countries. And when they went in, they would sometimes, they would, of course, kill people, but they would take things that belonged to the people living there as well. So the Vikings had those crazy horned hats, remember? Have you seen pictures of those?
Well, they say they did, but actually, according to historians, they didn't really wear those hats, but that's kind of the symbol we associate with them.
We see them in all the TV films and the movies, so yes, that's what they have.
Right. Of course, we got the Minnesota Vikings American football team. Maybe you've heard of them. They got the horn symbol on the side of their helmet there. But yes, indeed, there was a Viking invasion. And, of course, the enemy soldiers stepped on it, or at least one of the soldiers stepped on a thistle and went, yikes, ow, what's that? He cried out in pain, and that alerted the Scottish army. So maybe the Scottish army did not know where the Vikings were. And then when the soldier cried out in pain, the Scots knew where they were, and they counterattacked, and they were able to repel that invasion. So here, to alert just means to let somebody know something dangerous is happening.
Right. An invasion is when somebody comes into your country or your space. It could be your region, and they're not invited. Usually we use it to talk about an armed force, so an army coming in, so an invasion. But sometimes, I know there was a very famous TV show, or what was it, a movie called The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right.
So sometimes you can be invaded by other things. For example, you might be at a picnic and suddenly have an invasion of mosquitoes or an invasion of bees or something that come where they're not welcome. So you could use it that way too. So they did have this, of course, it's a legend. They have this story that it saved them from the Vikings invading their country to alert. Sometimes you'll have different sounds or signals that will alert you to something. Maybe if you set something on your cell phone or your phone that alerts you to the fact that you've spent too much time scrolling on Facebook. Sometimes I'll set an alarm that will alert me that I have 15 minutes to catch a certain bus. You can set alerts that way too. This is being used as a verb, to alert, in the verb form. The noun is pronounced the same way, though.
Indeed. Now, since the 15th century, the thistle has been a prominent symbol of Scottish strength and determination. So, yes, this has been around for a long time. Since the 15th century, which would be, what, the 1400s? It's been a prominent symbol of the strength of Scottish people. So if something's prominent, it's profound, it sticks out, you notice it. In this particular case, it means it's important, and it's also famous. You might be a prominent politician in your country. And, of course, this is a significant symbol of the strength of Scottish people and their determination to repel invaders. So remember, Scottish does describe things from Scotland. Don't say Scotch. He's a Scotch person. Scotch is the drink. Scottish is the person or the culture.
Or he's a Scot. She's a Scot. Right, yep. Yeah, you'll hear that too. S-C-O-T.
Mary Queen of Scots.
Not two T's, just one T. Yeah, Mary Queen of Scots. So this is a high honor. It's kind of like getting being knighted in the UK, the Order of the Thistle. It's something that you've done that's been pretty spectacular for your country of Scotland. It's awarded to those who have made great contributions to Scotland. So they consider this to be something that's pretty important. Just like South Korea was using their flower to rate hotels, They're using their flower to award those who have been great Scotsmen or great Scotswomen. If you make a contribution, you do something, that helps your country. You know, you could maybe, come up with a new invention. Maybe you've, decided to help the education system in your country. There are so many things that you could do to contribute to your nation. Maybe you've come up with a new invention, a new energy source. There are lots of ways you can make great contributions. Now, moving on to the next paragraph, we've got our next nation here. It's France. They do not have an official national flower. So if you look at France, you know, sometimes if you look up countries, they'll say, official tree, official song, official flower. Well, France doesn't have an official national flower. That doesn't mean they don't have a flower they use a lot. They use one called the fleur-de-lis, and it's been an iconic symbol of French royalty since the 12th century. You'll see it on a lot of castles. They have carved out the fleur-de-lis in their castles. I was mentioning to Tom before we started, what's interesting is that we don't pronounce it the way the French do. Typically, in French, if there's an S at the end of a word, you don't pronounce that S. Oddly enough, on this one, if you're in France, they say fleur de lis. They put the S on it, which is so interesting. But in America, we've chosen not to pronounce the S for some reason. So if you're in America, you'll want to say fleur de lis. And we have this particular flower as well. If it's iconic, it's symbolic. It's a mark that they've used for a long time. And what's royalty, Tom?
Royalty is just the royal family, the king, the queen, the prince, the princess, etc. So it's a symbol of the royal family. Iconic, of course, means it represents them. And this has been around since the 12th century. I also see this particular flower symbol as a symbol of anything that has to do with France. Okay, so for example, if you look at the provincial flag of Quebec, in Canada, It's got the fleur-de-lis on there. I think they have four of them on that particular flag. And then if you look at the helmet of the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, Louisiana, of their football team there, they have a fleur-de-lis on their helmets as well, because Louisiana used to be part of France. So right. It's kind of a recognition of French control of that area before. So yes, indeed, it's been a symbol of French royalty for a long time. It is believed to have been inspired by the iris flower. Check that out. Look it up. The iris itself is renowned for its elegance, and its name is derived from the Greek word for rainbow, reflecting its stunning range of colors from pure white to deep purple. Okay, so this sentence is quite long. Basically, it's believed that this particular flower, the fleur-de-lis, has been inspired by the iris, and the iris itself, if you talk about the iris, you're basically talking about the fleur-de-lis as well. It's renowned for its elegance. It's famous because it is elegant. And the name is derived from the Greek word for rainbow. So to derive from means that it is formed from that thing. It's not the same. The Greek word for rainbow is a word that is like the word that the French use, but it's been changed over time, so it's derived from that word. We can use this in a lot of different situations, not just about words, but it could be like this particular medicine is derived from this particular plant.
Yeah, so a lot of things are derived from other things. They start out in a certain form, and then it kind of evolves or maybe even transforms to something else. Derived from... My nickname is derived from my... the combination of my first name and my last name together, Stephanie Annie Bucklebum. It's derived from, it's not the same thing, but it comes from that originally. So yeah, there are a lot of things that are derived from other things. So the iris, we were talking about, that is derived from the Greek word for rainbow. It has a stunning range of colors. You can get irises in just about any color, to be honest. Today, the French people cherish this flower as a symbol of purity, light, dignity, and freedom. So right here in this sentence, it kind of tells us what this flower symbolizes or represents to them as a culture. Purity, being very innocent, being kind and innocent, light, Light is intelligence, goodness, dignity, of course. If you are dignified, you don't do things that bring shame or embarrassment to your family. You do things that are considered to be worthy of respect or honor. Those things are important. If someone's dignified, we would describe a person as being dignified, somebody who doesn't just mess around and joke around a lot. They're pretty serious. And it also represents freedom for them. And as Tom was mentioning earlier, it's on a lot of the flags that have attachments or connections with France originally. We're going to talk more about flowers, guys. We're going to spend time talking about our last nation, South Africa. But right now, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
听众朋友大家好，我是 Anna。我们昨天带大家看了韩国的木槿花、印度的莲花，还有墨西哥的大理花。今天还要带大家看一下，首先是苏格兰的国花是蓟花。蓟花这个英文怎么念啊？出现在第一段的第一句 ，the thistle, thistle, thistle。好，蓟花。那蓟花为什么是苏格兰的国花？其实是有一个故事的哦。因为之前啊，维京人有入侵苏格兰，那维京人呢就不小心踩到了苏格兰的这个国花，他痛得大叫。然后苏格兰军队就发现啊，维京人入侵了，因此苏格兰军队就赢了。所以呢，从那个时候开始，蓟花一直就是苏格兰的力量啊、决心啊这种象征，所以它就变成这个苏格兰的国花了。好，这个很有趣的故事哦。不过我们要回过头来看一下文章的第二句。那第二句当中啊，它其实有一个关系子句的简化。我们先把逗点之后的 alerting 这个字抓出来。Alerting 还原是 which alerted， 也就是我们刚刚说啊，维京人痛得大叫，警觉了 alerting 这个苏格兰的军队。但是要特别注意的是 which， 它指的不是前面的 pain 哦，它指的是前面从 an enemy soldier 这个地方一直到 in pain 这整句话。所以是因为敌军维京人他踩到蓟花之后然后痛得大叫的这件事情 which alerted 才惊动了苏格兰的军队。好，那接下来呢，我们就要来看一下法国它是什么样的国花呢？其实法国后没有什么官方的国花，可是从12世纪以来，百合花它就一直是法国王室的一种标记性的象征。同样在第二段第一句的地方，我们看到 Fleur de Lis 就一直是一个 iconic symbol of French royalty， 而且从12世纪就开始哦。那接下来的这一句话呢，第二段第二句就非常重要了，我们先把它画起来。 It is believed to have been inspired。 好，首先这个句型呢叫做被动，表示客观讲法的句型。什么东西被动？ Believed， 被相信。什么是被相信呢？通常都会跟着 IT 虚主词。那我们知道真主词长两个样子嘛，第一个带的子句，第二呢就是 to 加动词原形。可是我们要特别注意哦， It is believed 指的是什么事情被相信，可是这中文不会讲被耶，因为中文的被哦通常会有负面的意思。那它之所以会用被动式，就表示主词不明确，所以通常会直接翻成大家都相信。接下来的真主词呢，我们看到的是 to 加动词原形，可是这里的 to 后面加的是 have pp， 有没有 have been inspired？ 我们看到 inspire 被动，那如果后面加的是 to have 加 pp， 就表示大家都相信之前某件事情，也就是过去的事情，会说 it is believed 或者是 it was believed to have 加 pp， 因为大家现在还是这么认为嘛，所以 believe 现在用的是现在式， it's believed to have been inspired。 所以其实是怎么样的被有什么样的启发呢？其实是因为鸢尾花的关系， iris flower。 那鸢尾花就是很优雅，而且是源自于希腊语当中的 rainbow 彩虹。接下来的第三句彩虹 rainbow 之后有一个关系子句简化，逗点之后的 reflecting 还原是 which reflects， 这个 which 指的就是 rainbow。 那既然是彩虹，就表示有七彩的颜色，很多的颜色， 不过现在的法国人呢很重视这个花呢，就是把它这个百合花视为这个纯洁啊、光明啊、尊严啊还有自由的象征。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. We just got done talking about the national flower of France, and we also talked about the national flower of Scotland. While we're talking about Great Britain, I should mention that the Tudor rose is the national flower of England. I don't know about Wales, though. Forgive me for not knowing that offhand. But let's go to Africa now, and we'll go way down to South Africa. In South Africa, the national flower is the King Protea, which stands out for its exotic appearance. Indeed, it is quite exotic. It's quite different from other flowers. It is very unique. Some people may have difficulty thinking of it as a beautiful flower, but it's still rather unique, it's special, and therefore it is the national flower of South Africa. It is exotic, okay? If something's exotic, it is very unique and special, especially if it comes from a distant foreign country.
Yeah.
Or a tropical region or something. There are a lot of exotic birds, for example, in Brazil, or exotic plants in Indonesia or whatever, things you don't usually see in your own home country.
Or sometimes we use it to describe someone who's really attractive, but they're kind of striking. It's not your usual, oh, she's so cute or she's so pretty. Oh, she's very exotic looking. Usually this person wears vivid colors and dresses in kind of a crazy way or unusual way, but you can describe somebody as looking exotic as well. Right now we're talking about that King Protea, which stands out for its exotic appearance. I looked it up, and it is very different looking. Kind of looks like a flower that I'm used to seeing out in the desert. I grew up in a desert in Arizona. It's one of the oldest flowering plants on Earth. Some plants are described as just flowering plants because most of the time they don't have flowers on them. And, you know, you can have the plant in your home and it looks great, but sometimes it will flower like the lily. The lily flowers, which is really beautiful. But even if it doesn't have those white flowers that come out in the spring, especially here in Taiwan, I love my lily plants because they're quite beautiful without the flower that comes out. So this flowering plant has been on Earth. Some scientists date it back to 300 million years. So it goes back quite a ways, and it's got an impressive root system. The root system are the parts of the plant that go underneath the soil, underneath the dirt. Trees have them, plants have them, and it makes them strong. It's where they get their water from if they're not watered regularly from a human being from on top or get rain. They can go into that soil and find water there.
Right, so they can survive in those harsh conditions, which would include droughts where there's no rain for a long time, heavy rain where there's a lot of rain, and even wildfires, which do happen in places other than California. They're big fires that burn through large areas of forests and things like that. They can still survive, so that's probably why it's the national flower of South Africa. They can endure. They can take it. And again, as you said, it has this impressive root system, and that's probably why it can survive all those different disasters. And after a fire, dormant buds hidden in the roots allow the protea to regrow. So remember, we did introduce the word dormancy to you before. Dormant is the adjective form here. These are dormant buds, okay? The bud is where a flower grows from. It's kind of like a seed for a flower, and it's underneath the ground. But these are dormant. They're not really doing anything until a certain time comes. Like cicadas, for example, lie dormant underground until they come out at certain times of the year.
Hmm.
Or after 7 years or something like that. There's one species that doesn't come out for many years.
Cicadas, that bug, yeah, that makes yep, really loud sound, especially on humid, hot days.
Exactly. There are different species of cicadas. It's a fascinating topic, but we'll talk about it some other time. Yes, indeed, the dormant buds are hidden in the roots, and these allow the protea to regrow. So, of course, again, this flower can always survive those harsh conditions. And in South African culture, the King Protea represents hope, strength, and the power to overcome challenges mirroring the nation's spirit. Okay, so it represents these various things. Hope for the future. Yes, let's be optimistic about the future. And, of course, being strong. And then, of course, you can overcome challenges or to overcome difficulties. And, of course, that's the spirit of the nation. Yes, indeed, lots of terrible things have happened in South Africa, but the country has continued to survive.
It sure has. They're still having some problems down there, so we wish them well. To mirror, we're using this as a verb. You know what a mirror is. It's a piece of reflective glass that you look into, and you can see your reflection. But if something mirrors something else, it just shows that back to you. It corresponds to it. So it kind of matches that nation's spirit, you could say. So it mirrors the nation's spirit.
Right. And I did want to mention in passing, of course, there are lots of national flowers that we did not have time to talk about today.
True.
I would have assumed that the national flower of the Netherlands is the tulip. You know, if we think about tulips, we always think about the Netherlands. But actually, the national flower of the Netherlands is not the tulip. It is the daisy of all flowers. The tulip is actually the national flower of Turkey and maybe other countries.
That is one piece of very surprising news. Because the Netherlands doesn't have a lot of daisies. So that's interesting. Yeah, the tulip would have been my guess. Maybe you could play a game and see if you could guess different nations' flowers as an activity. Practice your English that way. So this is the end of our day two. We do want to wrap up by saying next time you spot one of these flowers, remember that they're not just pretty plants. There are history books, cultural symbols, and inspirational stories waiting to be told. Yeah, I'd be curious to find out some of these other countries that we didn't have time for. But it's a fascinating subject. You know, most countries also have, you know, national trees and birds and things like that. So you might want to do a report on that if you have time. I was saying to Tom before we started, this was something that most elementary school students did. When I was growing up, we would do a paper, a research paper on our own state, and we would focus on the flower and the flag and the meaning of our state, when it was established, when it was founded, I guess you could say. The tree, my state tree, of course, was the cactus, because I'm from a desert area. We have mountains in Arizona, too, but that's what I remember thinking. Oh, can't we have a prettier tree than a cactus? That was me as a little girl. Do you remember anything from that when you were in elementary school, Tom?
I suppose, but I forgot. I did remember, however, though, that Arizona has those big saguaro cactus.
Saguaro.
Okay.
Saguaro.
Okay.
We just say saguaro, yeah.
Okay, I'm using Spanish pronunciation there. But in any case, they're quite large, and I don't know if you could consider them plants or trees
They're trees. It's considered our tree.
Okay. That particular species of cactus, which you won't find in other parts of the world. But that's a national plant, a national tree. Of course, we've got national flowers. We've got national birds and things like that. National bushes, maybe national worms or something like that. I don't know. They probably don't have those things. But I did want to mention, of course, that you've all heard the song Edelweiss. And that, of course, is the national flower of Switzerland. I think
Austria.
Austria, not Switzerland. Maybe Switzerland's something else. But in any case, there are lots of other national flowers that you can investigate. So do some research and talk about it with your friends and classmates. And that brings us to the end of our discussion. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
最后我们就要到南非 South Africa. 南非的国花是帝王花。帝王花出现在第三段南非这一段第一句哦。King Protea, the King Protea, 帝王花。帝王花呢基本上它的外观就是非常有这种异国的情调，非常的 exotic。好，我们在第三段的第一句啊，其实有一个补充说明的关系子句啦，就是我们刚刚说的 King Protea, 这个帝王花之后打一个逗点 ,which, 指的就是这个帝王花。而这帝王花呢 ,stands out for its exotic appearance, 就补充说明哦，这个看起来非常有异国情调。接下来的每一句话几乎都有关系子句哦。我们来看第三段第二句。第二句呢关系子句简化。逗点之后有一个 dating。dating 先还原 which dates。d back to 有没有 ？Day back 就是有个追溯回到什么时候？好，它可以往回跑300百年哦，300百年是3亿年前，哎，很古老的一朵花，哎，非常非常古老的花系。那这个先行词是哪里呢？有点长，就是从 one of the oldest 一直到 on earth 这个地方，追溯回到3000万年前。这第二句关系子句简化，第三句呢也是关系子句。好，但是呢它是一个限定用法关系子句，我们从大概中间这个前面一点地方有一个 that 一直到句尾的地方，关系子句很长哦。那 that 指的就是前面的 an impressive root system。 那因为帝王花它是拥有令人印象很深刻的一种根系啦，根系如何呢？ that allows blah 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 一直到句尾，什么样的根系呢？它是啊能够在严苛条件之下还可以成长茁壮，不管是干旱、暴雨、野火、火灾之后，甚至是这个休眠芽都可以重新生长。来到第四句，一样是关系子句的简化，先行词 dormant buds 就是休眠芽，哪个休眠芽？ hidden in the roots， 左右括号起来省略的是 which 或 that 跟 be 动词的 are。 火灾之后这休眠芽还可以发出来耶。最后面第五句关系子句的简化，逗点之后啊，我们看到接近句尾的地方有一个 mirroring， 就是反映出什么什么，那还原就是 which mirror， 还原这个反映出这些什么东西反映出来，也就是帝王花象征的希望、力量、克服挑战啊，这些 which 都反映出 mirror 这个国家的精神。所以下次我们在看到花朵的时候，我们会看得很深刻，很有文化哦。以上是我们今天的内容，我是 Anna， 我们下次见。
That's it, guys. That's the end of our Petals of Pride, Flowers That Define Nations. And we hope that you learned quite a bit about flowers, but also English. And we also encourage you to take a look at our Facebook page and also our YouTube channel and learn some more. The more you can practice, the better you get, and the more fun English will be. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.